resides in the heart of a devotee. We really have no chance to understand what is bhakti and feel bhakti in our heart unless and until we meet devotees who have this bhakti within their own heart. Once, Narada Muni was trying to find out which devotee had obtained the greatest amount of mercy or kripa from the Lord. He had a specific reason why he wanted to find out which devotee was a wealthy devotee, wealthy in mercy. Because Narada Muni wanted to get bhakti, and it was known to him that the real, let me say, bhakti can be obtained from the devotees, from their association. They have this treasure locked in their hearts. They are wealthy in what is called the dhana of Krishna consciousness. The dhana or wealth of Krishna consciousness is bhakti. You can decide who, if you are poor or if you are wealthy, by understanding how much of bhakti is in your heart. Bhakti, it is said, someone who has bhakti in his heart has three desires. He wishes to be together with the Lord. That's very important for him. But he doesn't just want to be near the Lord. He wants to have a loving relationship with the Lord. That's the second thing. The bhakta just has this question, where is my dear Lord Krishna? Where is Krishna? And he wants to come into his vicinity, just near to him. And then he wants to have a relationship with Krishna. but he's not satisfied even with these two desires, to be close to the Lord and to have a relationship. No, what really is still missing for the devotee is that he gives pleasure to Krishna. These are the three desires of a bhakta. And I think you can now understand, these are not mundane emotions. They are really connected with Krishna, and therefore they are very, very spiritual. They cannot be had just by roaming around in this world. They can only be had by going to a devotee and finding who's in the heart. So Narada Muni, in his search for the wealthiest bhakta, the capitalist in bhakti, he follows Shiva's advice and goes to Prahlad Maharaj. Because Prahlad Maharaj is an example of a devotee who could not be diverted from his relationship to Krishna. You know, his father, Hiranyakashipu, tried everything to divert the attention of Prahlad Maharaj from Krishna. He tortured his son. He tried to kill him many times. He tried to, brainwash him by giving him into a school where the teachers had this one purpose, to just drive out all the bhakti out of the heart of Prahlad. But no matter what obstacle was placed into Prahlad Maharaj's life, his bhakti remained with him. You can see a real devotee by how much, he responds to when obstacles come into his way. Will he still love Krishna? will he still be with Krishna? Then, if a devotee, despite all obstacles, is still interested in Krishna, then you know this is a real devotee. I personally look at devotees and see them as oranges these days. When an orange is squeezed, you can see by the quality of the juice what was really inside the heart of the orange. So also when a devotee gets squeezed, and we are in Kali Yuga, maybe you have also noticed, it's a time of a lot of change. It's a time of where every one of us is tested what is really in his life vision, what is really his orientation towards Krishna. So every one of us will get squeezed a little. And then what comes out when there is a squeezing, then you know, by that juice, what is the quality of the devotee? So Prahlad Maharaj was thrown from rocks. He was thrown into a ditch of poisonous snakes. He was attacked by armed demons with lethal heißt tödlich, yeah, weapons. His own father, you know, did everything to re-educate him and bring him away from bhakti. But he was so much absorbed in Krishna that his reaction was to all these difficulties, oh, my father must be joking with me. Weapons were coming, snakes were coming, elephants were attacking. They were all sent by his father Hiranyakashipu. But because Prahlad was so absolutely innocent, absorbed in Krishna, that he thought, he's my father, he must be joking. These are very interesting jokes. He was not disturbed at all by the obstacles. He was so much fixed in his heart. It's inconceivable to us. He didn't even see obstacles as obstacles. In the self-improvement literature, you find this sentence, obstacles is what you see when you lose sight of the goal of your life. Maybe as long as you have your goal in life, whatever little difficulties are there, these are just chances for you to invest your intelligence to overcome them, but you are not disturbed. So Prahlad Maharaj is really our example of just sticking with Krishna. And that's why when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj in the garden of Tota Gopinath, narrated by Gadadhar Pandit, he just couldn't stop listening. He said, say it again. Please repeat this again. Because really, Prahlad Maharaj's devotion came out when he was squeezed by the circumstances. Please, for a moment, imagine the scene. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sits before Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit reads from the pages of the Bhagavatam, which are wet with his ecstatic tears, where the verses have been washed away by Gadadhar's ecstatic crying. Gadadhar somehow, I don't think he had the glasses, he somehow reads about the Charita, the glories of Prahlad, and the Lord, who is absorbed in the highest moods of the gopis' love for Lord Krishna, he says, Gadadhar, start again from the beginning. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Why? Because Prahlad Maharaj has so much bhakti in his heart that no matter what are the diversions, what are the obstacles, he is fixed and he has to stay with the Lord. So, today is Nisinga Chaturdasi, and in my little Nisinga Smaranam, I will do Prahlad Smaranam. Because I really wish you to understand that you can only approach the Lord on one road. That's the road of bhakti. If you don't get access, das heißt Zugang, to this road, you won't be able to go to the Lord. Therefore, sometimes devotees have said, I don't want Krishna, I want bhakti to Krishna. Because only if I have bhakti, then I can have Krishna. You know, Duryodhana, he was just in front of Krishna, but he had no bhakti to Krishna. Therefore, he could not understand Krishna. He could not love Krishna. Duryodhana received a letter just before the battle of Kurukshetra. This letter was written by Yudhishthira, and in the letter it was said, Krishna is on the way to Hastinapur, Duryodhana. Receive him. He comes as the peace messenger of me. So when Duryodhana received the information that Krishna was on his way, he just called all the generals and said, Krishna's on the way. What do you think we should do? They had no... What does he want? Well, he according to the letter from Yudhishthira, he wants to negotiate peace. The war will happen, the war must happen, said the generals. Yes, that's not the question, says Duryodhana. I know this, but what should we do with Krishna when he arrives here? So they gave their ideas, and at the last end, Karna spoke and said, Duryodhana and everyone here, listen. Be good to Krishna. Because he has a lot of influence. Many people think he is God. I know you don't think this, and this is your religious freedom. But he nevertheless has a lot of influence. And we don't want to enter into war with the Pandavas, and all of a sudden this Vasudev starts using his magic. So be good to him, try to win him over. If it's not possible, at least let us leave a good impression so that he will not attack us with his magic. I'm not afraid of anything, but if Vasudev starts using magic, ugh. So Duryodhana said, wisely spoken. When Krishna appeared, you know, just imagine Krishna appearing so beautiful. You know, the heart when Krishna appears just goes out to Krishna. Krishna has this attractiveness that when you actually see Krishna, it is described, you have one problem, you don't know where to look. Usually a beautiful person is beautiful in one part of his body. Maybe the eyes are beautiful and you look at the eyes, or maybe the chest is beautiful. No. Or in a woman, her hair is beautiful as it is around the face. And you look at that part, but in Krishna, everything is so beautiful. Even his lotus feet or his toenail is so beautiful that once you see it, you faint with the sweetness of Krishna's beauty. So Krishna entered the court of the Kauravas. Everyone looked. Duryodhana said, Vasudev, it's good that you have come. You please sit on the throne of the king. And Duryodhana pointed to the sun throne of the dynasty. It was a golden throne, a best seat. Krishna looked at the seat and he saw it was full of thorns. The thorns of Duryodhana's enviousness towards his bhaktas, the Pandavas. And he said, Duryodhana, I can't sit on a seat with thorns. What said Duryodhana? It's the royal throne. There are no thorns. There are even no pins, like in the Hare Krishna movement, on this, on the Vyasasans, which have been decorated in the last minute. No, he didn't say this. This is a modern interpretation. There are no thorns. Duryodhana said, Krishna, anyone who hates my bhaktas hates me, and you hate the Pandavas. So, our point here is the road of bhakti. You need bhakti to see Krishna. Duryodhana saw Krishna very close. He saw the Lord, but he had no bhakti, and therefore he just made duplicitous and crooked schemes. His heart remained sealed. His heart remained closed. This will happen to us also if we stand before the altar of Nrisimhadev. If there is no bhakti in our heart, we see Nrisimhadev, but we don't see him at the same time. You can only see him through the eyes of bhakti. Therefore today, let us hear about Prahlad Maharaj. When Narada Muni looked for Prahlad, he saw Prahlad sitting like this under a tree, absorbed in deep smaranam, meditation about his Lord. Prahlad enjoyed the association of his Lord within the core of his heart. So Narada Muni interrupted him and praised his bhakti. And amongst the many verses which he chanted, there was one verse which describes what you see every time you have darshan of Lord Nrisimhadev. You see Prahlad Maharaj sitting on the lap of Nrisimhadev. Some devotees have questioned, where is this in the Shastra? It is here. When Lord Krishna as Nrisimhadev appeared on the shore of the ocean, he placed you, said Narada Muni, on his lap. And he caressed you like a mother who carries its little child. Thus he honored you, Prahlad, ignoring Brahma, Shiva and the other demigods which were offering prayers, and even ignoring the goddess Padma. It is said that the Lord who is, there's a shloka in the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya from where Sanatana Goswami takes this idea of the Lord placing Prahlad on the lap. And the shloka says that, it's very, very nice, that the Lord who is friendly only to his devotees then sat down on the ground, you know, like a mother, when the mother sees the child needs something, she doesn't look for a child, for a chair, for her comfort. She says, oh, come. Sits on the ground and usually gives her child the milk from her own breast. So the Lord sat on the ground and put Prahlad on his lap. Then he started to gently rock back and forth with Prahlad on the lap, just like the mother will do with a little child. And he used his lotus hand to just caress the head of Prahlad and reassure him, it's all right, it's all right. Prahlad Maharaj needed this hand of the Lord on his head, because the Lord had just before ripped open the intestines of his father. That's a shock, you know. What will you do if you see your father attacked by by someone who looks like a lion but is a man, and is ripped to pieces? But it was just so much blood was there. The hairs of Nrisingadev was full of blood. So Prahlad Maharaj saw all this. So Nrisingadev, thinking that Prahlad Maharaj might be a little shocked, a little upset, took him on the lap, just rocked. Prahlad was and was very blissful. In Melkote, there is a temple high on the rock. You go to this temple by climbing up many stairs, and as you climb, jasmine flowers, the champak flowers, will fall on you. It smells so very nice there. And then you come in the temple, and there you see Lord Nrisingadev, but he sits in a yoga asana. Do you know why? Because after Lord Nrisingadev had placed Prahlad on his lap and went, to pacify him, he thought, maybe that's not yet enough. And he said, Prahlad, I will teach you some yoga positions for peace in the mind. And so, Prahlad, there's this one deity, maybe there's also in Aholama a deity I have seen, where Nrisingadev says, you do like this, you place this left here, this leg there, then you do all these yoga mudras so that you will calm down. It's all right. It's all right. This is love. This is love. Everyone was afraid of Lord Nrisingadev. But Lord Nrisingadev, knowing that he was so ferocious, was just so merciful to Prahlad Maharaj. Imagine, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu had told this. Imagine this form of Nrisingadev, who's just so absolutely angry that he grows with anger until he touches the sky. He has just thrown away Nrisingadev, Hiranyakashipu, and has dealt with the armies of the demons. And he is just roaring, and his roar comes from every atom of the universe because he's present there. It's just one big scream. It was so loud that Hiranyakashipu, when he heard the screaming of Nrisingadev, that he couldn't continue really to fight. He said, closed his eyes. And when you fight and you close your eyes, that's not very good for you. So they all couldn't approach Lord Nrisingadev because he was so angry. And in the midst of this scene, Brahma says to Prahlad, just make him calm, please. The whole universe will be destroyed by the anger of the Lord. And so Prahlad comes, little boy, throws himself into the Dandavat position, and Lord Nrsimhadev, who's one moment before ready to tear the universe apart, looks at his devotee and comes down and takes him onto his lap. And do you know what he does? He starts to lick Prahlad Maharaj. This is in the next shloka. He put his lotus hand upon your head, Prahlad, and then Narada can almost not speak. And then he began to lick your entire body. My dear devotees, have you ever been close to a lion? I have been. I prepared this lecture 2 years ago, and I thought, let me go to a wild lion just to tell you something about wildness. We went to Africa for the Ratha Yatra. There were 500,000 devotees. It was the biggest, 500,000 devotees in one Durban Ratha Yatra. I've never seen so many. And then afterwards, someone asked me, Maharaj, you look so tired. Yes, I'm tired. I preached every minute of the day. What would help you? Well, I would like to see a lion, I said. but a wild lion, that would wake me up again. I said, yes, then let's go to the lion's park. And we went to the lion's park, and there were these lions, big lions, but they all had just eaten, and they were just so lazy. So although we were warned to never, never, ever open the windows of our cars, we were driving in through two gates, and we were warned, don't open the window of the cars, then the lion will smell human flesh, and then he will attack. As long as you have the windows closed, he will smell gummy and benzene. And that's totally unattractive for eating. He will smell the car. But they were so absolutely lazy. And so I rolled it down, and all the devotees said, don't roll it down. I have to do this. I'm such an Anand Swami, an experience-oriented person. And then I went like this to the lions, because I knew they had never heard cartels. Well, they looked, and then I rolled down the window. Then after some time, no reaction. So we drove very, very close to the lions. And then I cannot describe to you what I saw. One big lion got up. He understood there's food in the car. Then he looked towards his lady lion, gave her an order, and she knew what to do. They know how to hunt together. And then they came, and they were fixed. And I could see in that moment, all of a sudden, I saw a wild animal which can kill an elephant if he's agitated. What to speak of us? He just went, made this growl, and then he looked into our eyes, and I have seen many eyes. It was just too intense. And then he started to just go with the car, to just roll it over. Please drive quickly. And somehow we chanted Namaste Narasimhaya. That works. Lord Nrsimhadev is this super excellent half man, half lion incarnation. He knows to tell the small little brothers from planet Earth to let his devotees go. And we just could escape from the lion. But that one moment, I saw wildness. Now, Lord Nrsimhadev was more wild than wild. He grew in his wildness. Why was he so wild? Because his devotee, Prahlad, had been hurt by this atheistic demon. So when he finally saw that Prahlad is there paying the obeisances, his heart went like, he put him down on his lap, he placed his hand there, and then he started to lick him. This is a very, 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 very good understanding. And he said to him something which I find very nice. So now it gets very sweet. Lord Nrisimhadev expressed his affection for Prahlad. And you have to hear these words today, because only then will you be convinced how bhakti is the road to Krishna. But before I tell this, I want to prepare you. I want you to really understand that only with bhakti you can approach the Lord. And I need to tell you another little leela. It has become one of my favorite leelas. I mean, one of my many favorites. One of my millions of favorite leelas. Because it just shows something which I learned the hard way. That a heart without bhakti is a dead heart. It's not worthwhile to live a life without bhakti. Once, Krishna was playing dice with his queen Rukmini in Dwaraka. Not dice, chess, shah. And Rukmini noticed her lord was absent-minded and lost chess. Now Krishna only loses chess when he plays against one opponent. Who knows this opponent? What? Srimati Radharani. He always loses every party against Radha, because how can he play when he looks at Radha? Radha tells him, You are good in these brutal sports, but now we will do something which has to do with intelligence, Shyam, and you will lose. Krishna happily loses. No, he unhappily loses, because losing in the Leela makes him unhappy. Anyways, so in Dwaraka he always wins. And Rukmini said, what is the problem? Why do you lose? About what are you thinking? Your thoughts are not with the game. Krishna answered, I'm thinking about this one devotee. She is in trouble. Who is it? Said Rukmini. Draupadi. Draupadi. Such a close devotee. Yes, they're just dragging her out of her room into the royal assembly hall to strip her naked. Krishna developed a little diamond-like tear in his eyes. Then my said Rukmini, go there and save her. Krishna said, it's so far and I will come too late. Then no problem, then said Rukmini, call Garuda and you will be there. Still too late, said Krishna. Rukmini pleaded with the Lord, my Lord, you are present as a super soul in everyone's heart, then go in this way. You're there. Too late. Let's continue with chess, said Krishna, and started to play and lose. finally, after I do not know how long, Krishna jumped up and said, now I can go. Draupadi has built the road for me to come. The road of her loving tears. Only on this road I can come to my devotee. My dear devotees, this is bhakti. Bhakti is the road which will bring us to Krishna. Pray for bhakti. When you meet a devotee, ask them, what do you think about Krishna? Can you tell me about Krishna? How can I develop my relationship to him? And here you will hear now something which will increase your bhakti, which is a strong tonic for your bhakti. You will see how Krishna loves Prahlad because of his bhakti.
I'm sorry, I have to get my tambura.
Yes. When Prahlad was on the lap of Nrisingadev, and Nrisingadev was rocking back and forth and lovingly licking him and touching him with his hand, Prahlad must have felt a little shy. He is my Lord and he is so kind to me. Isn't it when a superior, even in this world, when a superior person hugs and embraces you, you just don't feel like going and embracing him. You just are somehow hanging in his arms, you know. So Nrisingadev noticed that and he addressed Prahlad saying, my dear child, please give up this attitude of fearful respect that your reverence towards me has produced in you. Be natural. I do not so much like this sentiment in my devotees. Instead, just feel free to express your love for me. Krishna wants us to show what we, to manifest what we have in our heart from him. Let it come out. Krishna loves it. When a devotee looks at me without hesitation and speaks to me affectionately, my pleasure grows with every new moment. Like when you are before the deity, you can express your feeling. You are dressed wonderfully today. Really? My pleasure grows with every new moment when the devotee speaks affectionately to me. Although I am eternally free from all limitations, when a devotee acts with love towards me, such behavior binds me with the ropes of love. You all know this prayer? My dear Lord, you are the best of thieves. You steal everything from, you steal the clothes of the gopis, you steal butter, you steal hearts, you steal the karma of your devotees. You are so independent. You are such a thief. But now, I have put you into the dark, dark prison of my own heart, where you only find a dark library of karma. I have placed you there and I've bound you. You can escape from Mother Yashoda, you can escape from everyone, but you can't escape from my heart because these ropes you cannot tear. Although I'm unconquerable, says Nrisingadev, my devotees can conquer me. And although I'm subject to no one's control, I become their subordinate subject. You know what, Prahlad? I belong only to someone who has shown his love for me by giving up all other affection for family and possessions. And such a devotee also belongs to me. Such a devotee has only me as his friend, and I only have this devotee as my true friend. Please, he ends his initiative, his speech, please tell me what you would like from me. This is loving relationship, a relationship of bhakti, a relationship which can teach us stone-like Germans who are so much in our heads, and also stone-like English people and Canadian people and Holland people and whoever's here people, that let us not overlook the real point in Krishna consciousness. The real point is not what others are doing and not doing. The real point of Krishna consciousness is how much am I increasing my bhakti for Lord Krishna. Once you have understood this, you will want to find out, where can I get this treasure of bhakti? Where can I get this treasure? I'm so poor, where can I go? Once you have this purpose in your life, to get more bhakti, you will see how Krishna will work in many ways. There are many great devotees who can give us bhakti. Krishna has given bhakti in their hearts. For instance, Tulsi Devi. I know you didn't think of that. Every morning there's this prayer in our tradition. You are a devotee, Tulsi Devi. This other prayer says, Krishna doesn't eat without you being on his plate. He needs you as a leaf. You can give me the eyes to see Radha and Krishna. Bhakti is also stored in Mother Ganga. When you take a bath in Mother Ganga, it's really amazing. It's said when you chant your rounds at Yamuna Devi's shore in Vrindavan, Yamuna Devi will just come out and give you bhakti. I'm speaking now of the very, very doubt-free bhaktas, you know, who are so absolutely immersed in bhakti. Because it's rare maybe to find bhakta. Giriraj, is the giver of bhakti. Giriraj, we are now since 6 years living each Kartik at Giriraj's lotus feet. I mean, we have this retreat. No, it's not Kartik, it's after Kartik. If you stay for 1 week near Giriraj and just hear Krishna Katha, you will feel something has changed in your heart. Giriraj is a giver of bhakti. Very, very. There are many, many dear devotees of Krishna. And then there are those who walk with their feet on this planet Earth. These devotees who can help us in bhakti, they are also there. As a disciple of my exalted spiritual master, I will always point you towards Srila Prabhupada, because I have seen tremendous transformations happening in his contact. I am personally convinced that if you cry for the mercy of Prabhupada, then Lord Paramatma, the Chaitya Guru in the heart, will make the connection. The Prabhupada is not a historical figure for you, but someone who touches and transforms your heart. That can be made by the Super Soul. And there are many good devotees around. When you feel down and you cannot get close to these devotees who can inspire you, there are words, either written or tape recorded on MP3. Many of these modern recording devices. And this way you can bhakti. You should all leave this Nrisimha Chaturdasi festival with this purpose, to increase your bhakti. Don't waste your life as a devotee. Don't waste your life having such a chance to now become wealthy people, rich in bhakti. The true treasure is the bhakti. I would love to talk more, but we also have other programs, so we will chant just a little I would like to chant a raga with you. It's really simple, but very subtle also.